Okay, I'll hit the okay. All right. Okay. Today is Wednesday, December 4th, and it's 3:01. We have a quorum, and I'd like to bring the Environmental Services Advisory Committee, Waste Diversions, Collections, and Education Subcommittee to order. Quick roll call. Fred.
Here.
Like I said, Marco's going to come later. Doug.
Here.
And Trevor.
Here.
Okay. Just quickly, I just wanted to mention the Fred, I know your father passed away, so you're hanging in there.
Yes, I am. It's actually, right after he died, I ended up getting sick. I had a it's probably from having so much time that I had to spend in the hospital with him, and then in hospice. But he lived to be 100 years old plus 1 month,
Wow.
and he lived a great life, and he was well loved and admired, and it was just a treasure. Of course, it took him a long time to get to be the father that I liked. But he eventually got there, and it was an honor being a son.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That's really nice. I wanted to say something about Margot's husband who passed away October 14th, and I wanted to check with her first to see if it was okay. I didn't know if I should just kind of wait till the end, till she's here. What do you think?
We can wait.
Yeah, why don't I wait till she shows up and we can do it towards the end? So,
Thank you, by the way, Chris.
yeah, thank you.
Well, very sorry to hear
I'm
that your
sorry.
father passed, Fred.
Thank you.
Yes.
Sorry to hear that, Fred.
Thanks.
You know what I'm afraid of is that we're not going to live as long as our parents. Because
Don't want to live that
they
long.
did everything right. Okay. All right, let's start with item two, waste diversion, and look at the MRF report, Christina.
Oops, what did I do with that?
Maybe on mute.
I'm not on mute, am I?
Oh, there you are now.
There you are.
Do you want me to put up the report, Christina?
No, I have it up. I had many tabs open, so let me share
That's easy to
this.
do. For you, I bet.
Yeah, I'm just gonna have all this stuff right now, so can you guys see it? It's
Yes.
too small for me.
Yeah, make it a little
Okay.
big. You can
Yeah, this wasn't what I wanted
I have it up as a
share.
PDF if you want me to share.
Yeah, that'd be great. Let me
Okay.
stop. He has everything all together. I did have it pulled up, but I was looking at some a database for our brush and bulky stuff. So it looks like our tonnages were up. It's really funny because we'll look at it and we'll
Yeah.
say, oh, it looks like we're going down, but then they'll pop back up. So it's just, I don't know. I don't know what causes it, but we looks like our the OCC was up. I guess people have
Yeah.
been shopping. Despite the inflation, they've been spending and getting all those Amazon packages, I guess.
I bet. That's
Yeah.
it.
Yeah, we've certainly gotten plenty. It's been crazy though, because lately we've been, for a while there, they were really good about just putting things in, smaller packages. And then lately we've been getting these big boxes with nothing in them. The plastics were up quite a bit. And our residue rate went down. And so, this month we did pretty well. Our payment to the MRF went down, about $9,000.
Yes.
So
Hey,
we're
Christina,
doing
how much was
okay.
that?
About 9,000, the payment to the MRF from 20, it was 29,320 this in October and 38 in September. So
Is that the lowest?
yeah, it's been
I
dropping.
yeah, because remember we used to just seem like we were always sending lots of money every month.
The
To
highest I remember back in 2018 was like 311,000.
Yeah, this is
So
mind-blowing. This
I
is
think
great.
it's your plastics are all 440 bucks a ton, so you're getting a deal on that with it going to the isn't that going to Vegas,
It's
Christine?
going to the whatchamacallit,
The polymer plant.
polymer facility. Yes.
Yeah, so
So
that's a win for the city. I mean,
it
look at,
is.
and your percentage of PETs up. Did they install a new optical sorter for the PET?
I think they did.
I what? Okay, I
They
was.
were going to install a new optical sorter, so.
Yeah, because the old one in there was obsolete. You couldn't get parts for it anymore.
Yeah.
So that seems to be working better.
So, things are looking better, and it's really interesting because we've definitely been doing a lot more outreach, a lot more interest from people about what we should be recycling, and we've been out there telling people and trying to dispel the myth that everything's going to the landfill. So it's been pretty good, but I think definitely we're seeing our tonnages up, and that could be because snowbirds are back in town.
Well,
Don't know.
what you can do with the tonnage, if you're looking at the total number, the 1944, there was an additional, three delivery days in October.
Oh, okay.
So
if you divide that by the delivery days, you get 85 tons a day in October and 82 tons a day in September.
Well, it's about the same,
Yeah,
just
it's pretty
with the
close.
extra days.
Right.
Okay. Well, good.
Great. We like good
But
news.
yeah. So we're doing okay. Could be better. Still like to get that contamination down.
Right. So do you want to just move on to public outreach?
Sure.
I have
So,
item three.
yeah, so we were really, really very busy in November. We had our zero waste collection event November 2nd, and we had 528 cars come through, which was the highest we've ever had. So that was a really busy day, and we're gonna have our next event April 5th, I believe, same place. And we've had really good participation from all our partner organizations, so we'll keep pushing that along. We also, just as I said, we did a lot of outreach events in November to different neighborhood associations and other. We did a Ward 2 Nowhere to Throw presentation and presented to Margo's Ollie class and, just several different groups that invited us to present. We've been really busy recently with trying to get all the stuff out for the end of the year. So we have to notify residents about all the upcoming things. So we, in your December bill, you will see the tree cycle bill insert along with the holiday schedule. Brittany is sharing that with you now. If you could go back to the holiday. So you will see that we are the collection crews are only going to observe three holidays.
Wow,
There's
okay.
only three that will affect our collection. So that'll be New Year's, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. The big change. Hopefully, people will pay attention when they see this. But, we'll make sure to put the word out on social media and everything as they come up. But, if you all can share with your neighbors and things, that'd be great because it is going to be a big change for everybody. But that was, I think, one thing that we saw a lot was around those holidays, we would have call outs and it would be really difficult for us to get everything done. And the operators suggested that, that they would rather just work that day rather than have to give up their weekend, the following weekend. For them, it wasn't that important to have the day off because it just meant that they would have to work that following Saturday. So we're going to try it this way. So that's a pretty big change. The next one is with the household hazardous waste. That's also going to be in the December bill. We are reducing the number of events from 12 to 9. So there won't be any in June, July, or August because of the heat. We had low turnout during those months, as well as it was a challenge to have our the number of volunteers that we needed for those events. So we are cutting those summer months out. And then the last thing is in January, you will get the recycling calendar. And, that's pretty easy. Most people are used to the every other week by now. And then normally by this time, every year, we would have already mailed you the brush and bulky information. But we were hoping to be able to move ahead with the piloting of the appointment-based brush and bulky. And I think I mentioned that to you last month. We were getting some hesitation from the city manager's office, and I think it was like 2 weeks ago, maybe on a Thursday at 5 o'clock, they said yes. So we're going to pilot the appointment based in Area 19 and Area 25. One of those, Area 19 is in Ward 4. Area 25 is over here on the southwest side. It is the area that has been in the news recently because of all the illegal dumping. It's been horrendous for the last several years. I don't know if you all saw it on the news. It was bad this year. The crews were in there picking up, and people were dumping while they were cleaning.
Where was this at? I'm sorry.
It's in Area 25, so it's particularly bad along 6th Avenue, south 6th north, south of Valencia to Los Reales. I don't know if I have a
So do you
video.
think?
Jose showed us some pictures last time that were just astounding.
Yeah, so
Yeah,
Christina, you
it's.
mean that while the city crews were in there cleaning it up, there were
Yeah.
landscapers and people dumping stuff right next to
Yes. Uh-huh.
them?
Gosh.
And it's
So they.
across the street from a middle school.
Great.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kids had to walk, couldn't walk in the
In the
easement.
street,
They had
yeah.
to walk in the street.
What school was that?
Challenger Middle
Challenger.
School.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah, just to add a little bit on Christina, we did go out there and we did service everything that was out there that was illegally dumped. I think with the new program that we're going to be putting out there, I think it's going to work out where the people aren't illegally dumping. Now people have the on call. We can educate the people. When we're out there, so I think like we were talking. Last time, people see trash, they start seeing brush and bulky, and everybody thinks that it's free game. So, hopefully this is going to reduce it, but we're going to stay on top of it also.
Are you going to do cameras at all, or?
It's been in the talk, in the past, it's been in the talk of setting up cameras. Now, who's going to main the problem is who's going to maintain. Who's gonna actually, do the going taking them to court? Right now is just it. We're talking about it. Who's gonna handle that? Would that be TPD? Would that be us? Would that be code enforcement? It's but we have been talking about it.
What we've always been told by the police is that we have to, it has to be one of our staff that sees it, or they won't, or you can't take it to court.
Well,
How exactly is the pilot program going to work? Do they just call up and say, "Hey, I have stuff, it'll be here." Do they have to pay?
It's going to be basically the same. So every other area will be on schedule twice a year. Those two areas will still receive twice a year collection, but it'll be when they want it, when they need it. And they will have the ability to call in and schedule it, or they will be able to use the Recycle Coach app to schedule it. So they we'll have plenty of opportunity. So what we're doing, where everything related to brush and bulky has been delayed, so people will get them. Everything will be mailed out before the first of the year. It's usually, like I said, out by now, but because of the late decision that we got, it's just been taking much longer. We are going to be, but the information is going to be online here this week. So people will have it. It'll be loaded into Recycle Coach here as quickly as possible. And then we're sending it out to the ward offices as well, so that they have it, but it'll be online. People will be getting a direct mail piece that will have the sticker with their dates for the year. The areas in question, we're going to be mailing them a letter letting them know that they're going to be part of the pilot. They still get their two collections a year. They still get 10 cubic yards, but they're going to either call or schedule it through Recycle Coach. We are also going to schedule some public meetings with those neighborhoods during the week after MLK Day so that they have an opportunity to ask any questions or whatever. But we've also been in communication with the ward office too. They've been very supportive of it. So we'll see how it works.
So let me, so if you don't mind, I'm curious when the people were dumping there while your people were cleaning up, did they get a record of who was doing the dumping?
I'll answer to that one. So most of the time, when we're out there, if we're picking up a pile, we're just going to say in front of Challenger Middle School like we were doing this time. So what happens, these people, they'll dump it down a ways. And there's been times where we approach them and we let them know, look, you can't be doing this. But they get aggressive. A lot of the times they get aggressive. So one of the things to avoid that is just let them do it, if we can get a picture, we'll get a picture. But for the most part, they just get aggressive. And there are some people that they understand and they'll take it away, but they'll just go around the corner and we're not seeing and they'll just dump it there. So it's just been an ongoing problem.
I'm not familiar with the area, but is it private property?
As a matter of fact, I do have a picture. I don't can I share my screen now? I was gonna share it with you guys. Let me see.
Go
I'm
There it
also
is.
looking for the little video.
Fred
Okay.
didn't see it the last time.
So let me know if you guys can see that.
Amazing. Yeah, we
Can
can
you?
see it.
So after we went through the brush and bulky, so then like I think it was Fred that you were asking about the private property.
Yes.
So what we did this year, we've been having an ongoing problem here at this property. So what we did this year when Brush and Bulky went by, we went by and we picked up everything that was on the street, the property line, and we cleaned it all up. But we had got a hold of the I work closely with code enforcement, so we can, so they can contact them. And basically they went out there and they looked at it. And they did a notice of violation. So working closely with them, they contacted them, they let them know. This has been an ongoing problem here at this location. Last year when I spoke to them, I told them, look, I'm going to clean it up for you this year, but next year, you got to maintain it. It's your property, you have to maintain. So the not notice of violation was sent out, nothing was done. And this one was up recently on Channel 9, I believe. The people were complaining about the mess that was out there, but we kind of did it intentionally so that way people are seeing and they're calling it in, and then getting the property owner. So what we did, they sent the notice of violation and we made them pay for the stuff that was out here. We cleaned up whatever, because they illegally dumped again out on the sidewalk, but we went in and we took care of the whole property, but we billed them for it. So all this stuff that you're seeing here, this is all just illegal stuff. And then afterwards, after the cleanup.
I know when there's illegal dumping in my neighborhood, a lot of times it's on properties for out of state landowners.
Yeah,
And
and that's what happens
that's
when you
hard
don't
to find too, who's in charge, because they're LLCs.
Yeah. Well, you got good friends at code enforcement, Martin. He's on here. He'll research and he'll find
Yeah, it's
them.
they don't make it easy. Yeah.
I have a little video that Jose had shared with me from before, so I can share that and she could just give you an idea of what it's been.
Just amazing.
Oh, that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. Pretty
Are
thoughtless.
they dumping it during the day or at night or?
Well,
Yeah, it's happening throughout the whole day.
God.
and you know, and understandably, the neighbors are just sick of it.
Yeah. And the school.
And the school.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Anyways.
we think that by not having the dates posted publicly, that maybe, you know, it will reduce it. I don't, you know, it's not ever going to get rid of it completely. Like it, you know, it still exists other places in the city, but maybe we won't have that massive dumping all at once.
Would Pima County put information about that? And do they have any newsletters for the people who live in the county?
I don't believe they do. I've never.
Just to give them a heads up or.
I will tell you that their offices call me to ask me, like, what can we do? You know, where can people recycle from, you know, where can people in the county recycle? You know, because they don't really.
Yeah, well, duh, huh?
What kind of media do these people listen to? I mean, I outside the regular news reports from TV stations and the newspaper, is there any other like
This isn't the residents. This is people who live outside the area.
yeah.
People who live in the county, people who are haulers, landscapers. You know, they're just.
Older people watch the news and younger people find all their information out on their phones.
Well,
You
I
know.
guess I guess I'm assuming then that this is all done intentionally by people who are doing things like cleaning people's yards or the,
Yeah.
and they just don't take them to the dump like they're supposed to. And I would imagine that when the people make their bids as to, we'll you pay us, we'll haul this away. They're probably they might be telling them, yeah, we'll take it to the landfill. We're going to charge you this much money because it's going to cost us this much money to put it into the landfill, but they don't actually go there. And I've heard of situations like that before where people will pay people to haul stuff away, and then under the assumption that, oh yeah, we'll the reason we charge you so much is because we gotta pay this fee at the landfill, and they don't go there,
You don't do it.
and they pocket the money.
I always tell people if you're gonna do that, tell them that you will pay half up front and half when they bring you the landfill receipt.
That might be a good way of doing
And you know, but I mean, I
it.
can't tell everybody. I tell as many people as I can because that's because you know they're charging you for it, and you
Oh,
as
yeah.
a customer are trying to do the right thing, otherwise you wouldn't be paying somebody
You just do it
to
yourself.
come and yes. And yeah. But you know, it's but the neighborhood, I mean, these people were on the news basically saying we're sick of Fresh and Bulky. We don't even want the program because this is what we have to put up with. And it's been going on for years.
Yeah. Well, that's sad.
So
Well, hopefully this
anyhow,
works.
we're
Yeah, this is
trying
good.
this out. We're going to see how it's going to work. I think, you know, but the other part of it is it's not just because of this. It's also because, as you know, we've had we've seen a lot of growth in some of the areas of town and because of our staffing levels and the storms and everything, we get pushed back. You know, this year after the storms, we were running two, I don't think we got up to 3 weeks behind, but we were definitely 2 weeks behind for a while. We just actually are going to be caught up this week.
Yeah, I called them to find out if they were still behind because,
We just finished in your area
yeah, and
Monday,
yeah.
and we're able to start the next area yesterday. So we're going to be caught up this week. And, you know, by other communities have gone to an appointment-based brush and bulky because it does allow us, it allows the municipality to control the workload because right now it's not evenly balanced. We have some areas, for example, the area around Rita Ranch has over 11,000 homes.
Athena,
Yes.
you're not keying in, please.
Pardon?
Yeah. Oh, back to
Can't hear you, Margo.
Oh, it's irrelevant. It was a side conversation. Sorry.
Okay, sorry. Just as an example, the area with Rio Ranch has over 10,000 homes, but Fred, your area has almost 4,000.
Yeah, it's really concentrated here.
Yeah, but you know, it's just.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's one area that has 12,000 homes now. Most of the other ones are run about 5,000, 6,000 at the most. So, by going to an appointment-based program, we would be able to manage the workload more efficiently because some areas are smaller. But we designate a whole week to each area. If we.
I know you've got this program too, where you bring those big containers over and they sit there, and people bring stuff to the containers and put it in there. Of course, they do take advantage of that too. They have contractors sneak in there and drop off whatever they have, so that they don't have to take it to the dump. But I find that very useful because that kind of fills in for the times where. Between the two times that we get the brush and bulky come in, there's times when, like there's a storm or something, and the branches break, and you don't know what to do with them, and every now and then you guys will have that program. We'll be able to take advantage of that when you drop off the when you leave some containers for us to use.
Right. So, you know, this is something that we're hoping that it will work well. Phoenix has moved to a appointment-based brush and bulky, Peoria, Surprise, Chandler, many more communities because we're all facing the same issues with staffing and community growth. So, you know, we just have to look at other ways of managing the workload.
Cities in Southern California have been doing it for quite a while.
Right.
So it is effective.
Yeah.
Good. Good luck. I'm pulling for you.
Thank
Thank
you,
you.
Christina.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, let's move on to item four, code enforcement, and Martine. Is
Can you guys hear me fine? I got a lot of traffic passing by here. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fine.
Okay. Back in beginning mid-November, we were contacted with from Pima County. Brenda from the Pima County Health TPD called us. They wanted to see if we could assist them with some peddlers, unlicensed peddler complaints they were having off of Campbell and Valencia, Campbell and Irvington, and also Valencia and 12th. We ended up grouping up. We went up to the substation right here at Santa Rita, right here on Park Avenue. We met up there about 7 o'clock. We got all grouped up on what activities are going on and what each department was going to do. We went out there Thursday about 7 o'clock. There wasn't really much out there. It wasn't the weekend yet, but we did see a few. We advised them that we would be coming back again the next day and that we would be issuing citations and removing equipment if we saw them out there.
That was the food.
I'm sorry?
That was the food.
No, we didn't try that. Actually, it looked very good, to be honest with you, but we kept our distance on that part. But we went back out on Friday 22nd, I believe, and we did find a few of them out there. These are a couple of pictures of TPD officers. They were directing traffic, keeping the peace. Pima County was doing inspections on they didn't even have nowhere to wash their hands. They were running propane tanks out in the open. There was a lot of hazards out there. We ended up closing, I believe, three of them. We ended up taking all their equipment. TPD went out there and impounded everything. I mean, the tables, the everything. They took everything, impounded, and they took it to their facilities. So it turned out to be a real good day. And code enforcement ended up issuing a few citations. The problem was that a lot of people were from, a couple of gentlemen we were talking to, they were from Haiti. They didn't have IDs. They didn't have no license. So to follow through with the citation is going to be nice, you know, how to get a hold of them. But we did take their equipment. We cleaned it out. We advised them what needed to be done to do everything properly, the licensing and the distance from the street. When we got there, they had people, TPD had to actually direct traffic. They had so many people, a line of people going in there to eat. So TPD had to advise everybody, line is closed, you know, the buffet is closed. So they were pretty irate. I'm glad they went out with us, because they got pretty upset with us that we were shutting them down. Not so much the owners, but the people that were ordering the food. They were really getting a little aggressive with all of us. But it turned out to be a good weekend. We were planning at least doing it maybe twice a month, for they can know that, you know, we are going to be around. It's not just a one-time thing. So hopefully at the next meeting, I can give you some more news on how it went and if we did work, if we did scare them enough to go get permits, or if they even came back out.
How many operations are going on in the city? I can't imagine this is the only one.
Well, actually, we did one a few months back at downtown. This is kind of new for us. We just go out there sporadically when we get the complaints. But as far as doing it constantly, at least twice a month, where we show that we're out there, we don't do that. But we're planning on trying to do some kind of project where we can go out there at least a couple of times a month, but they can see that we're out there. They know that we go once and we disappear, they come back out. There's been times where I've gone out and issued a notice. As soon as I leave, I get a complaint. 2 hours later, they're back out here again. So this time we explained that to TPD, and TPD ended up taking all the equipment this time. So it's going to be a lot harder to come back every time we get them.
Did they use CSOs at all?
No, at that time it was just TPD.
It was just
the officers themselves. Yeah, no
CSOs. Okay.
Yeah, and Pima County Health. Brenda was there from Pima County Health, and then us, code enforcement. It was a good turnout. I think they really got the idea.
Oh boy,
that's one of the projects. The other thing I'd like to talk about is also on the inspectors, just to give you guys an update. We got three new inspectors. The fourth one was with us already, Sergio, but he got promoted up to actually being a code enforcement inspector with all the duties. So in reality, we got three, because Sergio was really with us. He just got bumped up. So we're in the process. I just got some information today. I don't got all the details, but HR is telling us that we're going to start trying to recruit another person to fill in the gap from Sergio. The three, I got two of them are probably going to go out and start doing on their own inspections. I would say within 2 weeks, they'll be ready to go out there and start on their own and start getting cases on their own. We're going to start them off on minimum housing, small things first for the few months, just to get them a little adapted to the job. The third one will probably won't be out for another 3 weeks. He came in a week later than the other two. But hopefully within the month, we should have those three out there again. And then the new one, hopefully we'll have more updates for you at the next meeting and see how
So
that
has
one goes.
Sergio been with code enforcement for a while?
Yeah, he came in. I don't know if you remember back when it was a budget, we needed him, but they couldn't do the budget and get him as a code enforcement officer. So we got him as like a just to do minimum housing because of the budget. But they adjusted it. Carlos did real good in getting all that taken care of and gave him the opportunity to apply for the position, and he did, and he passed. So he's one of
What
us
was
now.
the position?
Well, it's the same position. It's just the code enforcement, I don't know how they worded it. They couldn't at the time, they couldn't hire him as a code enforcement inspector, but they could hire him as an inspector, but not with all the full duties, just the
A
minimum housing.
CSO.
And
That's
they
what
like a,
CSOs, yeah.
yeah,
Okay.
like a CSO, yeah.
Oh, so he
But
was a CSO.
yeah.
Gotcha.
But now he's a normal inspector and he knows all the ropes, so he'll get he'll he's been out there for a while, so he knows the job. Doing very good.
Okay, so
And
that brings us to how much? 15? Are we up 14, 15?
we're actually now 11 with me, and then Lori got the two vans, which is the 13, and then if we get another one with that we're working on with HR, that'll be the 14th.
Okay, now I know City Manager Ortega had set it up for code enforcement to get up to 15, but
Yeah.
maybe we can work with the new city manager and see about upping that and getting it back to the old Teresa William years where we had, 24, 25
25.
inspectors.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense when the city is growing to purposefully understaff code enforcement. So,
That's
anyhow,
what the goal is, anyways. Yeah, I agree. That's what the goal is.
good. Okay, but right now for real, you have 11 code inspectors
Yes, with the new
plus a
ones.
CSO. That's the total. Nobody no tell people they can't retire.
Yeah,
I know. I
it's tough, but we're moving along.
yeah. Hey, I just wanted to ask you real quick, did you get an email I sent you yesterday?
I got so many. Yeah, I don't remember
See,
yours.
that's the problem. Because I emailed you and Lori
Which
and
I'm sure.
Carlos and stuff. So it seems like anytime I email the city, it goes somewhere. And even with the city manager, never seems it goes out into outer
Well,
space.
I think I did get yours. I'm just trying to find which one.
Okay, well, this was yesterday, and so I'm gonna just bring this up. I'm not gonna hit
Sure.
you right now,
No,
but
that's fine.
bring it up for the next meeting as a future agenda,
Okay.
working with the CSRs. But anyhow, thank you. That's good
Thank
news.
you.
Good
Thanks,
news.
Martin.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, because the unlicensed peddlers have been something that code enforcement has talked about for a long time.
Yeah.
And a former member would bring it up just about every meeting. So it's nice to hear that there's finally some progress with that. So thank you.
Alrighty, thank you. Thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Okay.
You bet.
Let's go to item five, collections. And wait. So, Jose, are you going to do this one for
Yes.
the brush and bulky status update and the alley assessment? Okay.
Yes. So, Christina took some of my words that I was going to say, so she already touched on it. But
Okay.
yeah, Area 13,
Oh.
which was last week's area, we completed it yesterday. And then this week's area, we also started yesterday. So it looks like we're getting back on track. We're a day, a day late, but we're getting back on track. One of the things that it is, it's now the morale around here, with the employees, they know, we've been bringing them in on overtime, assigned overtime. So on the 6th, which is at the end of this week, that's going to stop. So, but we'll still have the some of the employees. One of the things that we did at the beginning was that we used the probationary employees that were just coming in. So we, we got those guys and we filled them in with the brush and bulky just to help out there. So come on the 6th, or the fun next week, we're going to be transferring them back to residential so they can go back to the regular duties. And basically, they're going to get the training that, that we're going to be training for the residential. So they'll be getting a few people. We'll still have a few people over at a brush and bulky so we can, stay on track. But yeah, we're finally back up there again with, where we need to be at. Let me see. That was mostly it. I know Christina touched on it. Just trying to get it out of Area 25, which we were talking about earlier. We stayed there for a while, mainly like Christina was talking, Area 25, 23, 22, 24, even 24, those are our heaviest area. So hopefully next year, now that we have the on-demand, we're gonna have that cushion where, we're not falling that far behind unless, we have something unexpectedly like we did this year happen again. So, but we're back on track. Right.
Okay.
So
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, looking at them, they are large areas. Physical areas. What if people don't call in but still start piling stuff up? Who's going to notify you that you need to come in and pick stuff up?
That's one of the things that we talked about because it's going to happen. It's going to happen where if I, I call it in, I take my stuff out, you're going to have the neighbor, in front of me or beside me. They're going to take the stuff out. So one of the things that what we're going to do is when we're out there is basically, we're going to contact them, let them know, look, this is now it's on demand. Now we're going to have that public, where we can go out there and talk to the people. So one of the things that we're going to do is just go ahead and service them, but that's going to be considered one of their pickups. We're planning on having tags, maybe if there's no if we can't reach anybody, we're planning on having, tagging the, their not tagging the house, but leaving a, some kind of notification, letting them know that anything, in the future they got to call it in. So, but if we see it out there, we're still going to take care of it.
Okay. Well, we like progress.
Yeah, we like it too. We're actually excited because I, it's just dealing with this Area 25 for years. It's been like a nightmare, just having all that stuff out there, and hopefully, I'm pretty sure it's going to reduce. But we're going to keep track of everything. Like I said, if stuff's out there, we're going to go ahead and take care of it.
Okay.
So is somebody running around up and down the streets in 25 looking at if the wildcat continues, how are you going to know about it?
When these crews are out there, the good thing about it is that we're just going to say, we'll pick on Area 25. The way we're looking at it is we're going to rotate them because we got two areas, which is 25 and 19. So what we're going
Okay.
to do, we're going to rotate them. So one, we're just going to say like the first week of January, Area 19 is going to go there, the first week of January, and then the second week is going to be Area 25. So the following, the third week is going to be 19. Basically, we're going 19, 25, 19, 25. So we'll be going back on a weekly basis there.
Okay. And you'll just do the others as people call in.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. 10 is a very small area physically. Well, it looks from the map. I guess it's the same. It's three. It's just got one square kitty corner from the other two squares.
Yeah. Christina, do you have those numbers, what they are for area 10 compared to the other areas? 10? I'm not sure if you have that in front of you or not.
The household counts?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I've been playing with all those numbers today. So we just got the all the addresses today. So I did a thing and looked at it. Can you see this?
Yes.
Needs to make it bigger.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Okay. So 10 is 4580.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
11 is 6861.
I'm 11.
And 22 is 10,000. 23 is 12,000. Right.
But, and Jose can definitely speak to this more than I can because he's more familiar with the on the ground. But the tonnages can vary because in Midtown, you have areas with much more mature landscaping, so much heavier tonnages, even though the number of households is smaller. Now, in Area 22, which includes Rita Ranch, we're very much starting to feel that growth because there are more houses, but we are seeing that landscaping and tree growth mature, so the loads are getting heavier. So that so just the numbers alone isn't the only thing you need to consider.
Interesting.
Okay.
Like I said, Jose would have a much better idea of that.
Yeah, and you know, it depends what side of town, you know, it's just like Area 25, you know, even though, you know, Area 22 is, you know, they have all the household, Area 25 will sometimes, because of the illegal dump, will,
right,
you know, over, like, you know, they'll have more tonnages than Area 22. You know, it, whatever area you're in, I think you said it was area 11.
I'm in 11.
11, yeah. If you have 68, 61, we won't see that much stuff come out, too. People, you know, a lot of people, it depends on the customer, too, on the resident. You know, because there are some residents where they'll take advantage of the B&B specials, you know, if they can. I know that Fred was talking about, you know, having containers out there, and it's nice to throw it out there as a community, you know, but there are a lot of people that take advantage also of the B&B specials. We'll go out there and we'll take care of it for $55. Mm-hmm. So it's going to vary every season, every year.
Well, Midtown, we have lots of scavengers.
Yeah.
So it's completely different.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm glad because they're recycling things. They're even taking springs out of sofas.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's a lot of hard work. But I mean, things mysteriously disappear. So
yeah,
at least we can be glad that's not going into the landfill.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, you know, because you know we're gonna, I won't pick on certain areas, but there are areas that, you know, we'll clean at 6 months, you know, every 6 months. We clean it the first time, okay, it's clean. We go back, it's the same. We're thinking, and it's like they're probably picking it up at your property and then bringing it up to the other area. Okay, we took all the springs out, we took everything that we needed, and now we're gonna place it out. You know, yeah, so
Interesting. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Anything else?
With the brush and bulk, you know, but I know that I have that alley assessment. I don't know, have we talked about this in the past? The
Yes.
alley?
Yes,
Yeah.
well, the problems with the danger to the drivers, and
Yes. Okay. Yeah,
yeah,
that's it. That's exactly.
that's
Let
been
me
a
pull up
long
a,
time problem.
yeah. I'm gonna pull up the a map that we have here. And I'm not sure if I shared it with you too in the past. So I'll hold on. Let me know when you guys are able to see that.
I have it. Yeah.
Okay. So back in July, you know, we were directed, you know, with the mayor and council, came down to Carlos, you know, what that, you know, to go out there and do an alley assessment of all the alleys that we have. So what you're seeing here, let me zoom in on one of the areas. So what you're seeing here, you'll see that some are with green, some are yellow, and then some are red. So we did, we all of management here, we all got a tablet, we all started hitting all these alleys. So we went through every single alley that we have here in Tucson, you know, that's in within the city limits. We went through every single alley, you know, identifying what's a safe alley. We identified it by a tier one, tier two, and tier three. So basically, the tier one is going to see all the green ones. It's a tier one, which means it's a safe alley. But if you notice here, there's it's yellow, but it's maintenance required, which means, you know, trim a tree, trim around utilities. So we went through and we identified, and then you're going to see that we have the red ones, that what the that's not a safe alley. So we identified that that's not a safe alley. So what we're gonna do with those safe alleys, we're gonna get out of that alley. We'll notify the customer, letting them know. We'll notify the ward office, and so that way we can get out of the alley and do a curb service. If you see toward, well, let me zoom out so that way you can take a look at it. You know, it just scattered throughout the whole city. One of the things where our main alleys are going to be mostly on the east side. So you'll see here, there's a lot of maintenance to be done here within the city. A lot of changing them over from alley to curb service. These are all alleys that we have to get out of just for the danger or you know. You're making it more safe for the operators. One of the things that we're working on now is that okay, we got the assessment, we got it done. How do we start converting, you know, making it all look green? You know, this with that we're working with our IT, and you know, we're trying to come up with a program. So, you know, right now we have two arborists that are out there and they're working on some of these alleys. Right now we're getting work orders, but we gotta make it more, you know, with the electronic, get and catch up instead of having paperwork. Now, how do we start changing these? So, you know, we've been meeting, you know, when it comes to data and when it comes to computer, all I need is this, how can we do it? You know, so they're helping us out, come up with the program so we can start seeing, you know, having all of these green or, you know, at least having them all green, you know, kind of working on it. So a couple of months ago too, right now we have a couple of subcontractors that are going to be helping us with this. So we'll be able to, you know, pick a location. I think we're going to leave these where you see the mostly yellow, and we can start, you know, because we got to give the residents, we got to give them a notice and let them know, look, and you know, we did an assessment. We're giving you 2 weeks if you want to trim your tree, or if you want somebody to also do it, you know, we're giving you 2 weeks to do it. Or leave it alone, we'll do it for you. So we're gonna go out there. In 2 weeks later, we're gonna go out there. We're gonna have that work order, and we're gonna go out there and we're gonna clean up that alleyway. So hopefully here in the future, like I said, we're working on a program trying to see, instead of looking yellow and red, we want it to look green.
Hey, Jose,
Yes.
are the all the alleys have the 300 gallon barrels? Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh.
And no bigger, no larger. They're all the big old 300 gallon barrels, right?
They're all 300s.
Yeah,
On occasion, you'll
that's a
have
lot.
a 90 back there, depending. It's the majority is all 300s, but there might be one or two that might be back there,
Sure, understand. Yeah, thanks.
Are all of the yellow associated with just landscaping maintenance issues, or are there other issues as well?
There's other issues. There are some times where some of these drivers are driving in the alley and there's a pothole. A lot of these alleys don't get that maintenance. So what we're going to be doing, with the potholes, we'll report it to transportation. They'll go out there trying to, go out there and grade it. One of the things is we see a lot of brush. When we're out there, we're trimming some of these trees. We'll be taking care of some of the brush. Especially around the utilities that are out there, like the is going to be the gas meters, water meters, transformers, TEP transformers, just making it more safe for the operator.
Okay.
And I want to mention too, one of my sons lives out by Pantano and Broadway. And they had the big bins in the back alleyways. And since they changed over to everybody having their own trash cans and recycling, they're having a lot less dumping in the alleys, because that becomes a problem.
Yeah. I don't know what side of he might, I don't know which one it might have
Oh,
been.
go he well he's Pantano between Broadway and 22nd. Just, yeah, it's an old 70s development.
Yeah. And then one of the things that once it's converted, we're just going to pick on
Yeah, that's
yeah, once it's converted. Are you gonna see? You won't see any like the red ones. You won't see them anymore. Because if you
Okay,
see,
so they don't have any circles at all in
yeah,
his
no,
neighborhood.
yeah, they won't have any circles. If we converted anything that's gonna be converted that's red, when we do convert them to curb service, you won't see them anymore. Because now it's curb service.
Okay, it was like Sherwood Village, so you can see that whole area in there with the windy roads and stuff. There's
Yeah.
no circles. Cool. Okay. Any other questions, Rosie? Okay, we've got one more item six, the update on the Los Reales Sustainability Campus landfill operations. So, hi, Frank.
I don't have a whole lot, but I do have some items I wanted to bring up. We are currently mulching or grinding greenways. We had to, if you recall, that we used to contract with Fairfax, and they would bring in a grinder and then do it that service for us. Recently, they didn't have any units, and we were running out of greenways. So we were actually going to be at a standstill and not be able to compost anymore, at least for a while. And so we actually rented a unit and we're operating it ourselves. And so it's going to give us also a good, by doing this, it'll give us an idea of how the whole process, if we end up actually purchasing our own blanket down the road. Not that it's going to happen right away, but we're hoping that we can budget that into future budgets.
So where are you trying this again? Sorry, it's
We
you're
are here
breaking
at
up a little bit.
the landfill. We rented a grinder.
Okay.
And it's a Vermeer unit. It came out of Phoenix.
Okay.
All what's right. What's the capacity? How many tens an hour?
It's well, it's a 500 horsepower unit, and so part of this the whole why we want to do this too is because it'll also give us an idea compared to what Fairfax was doing, what the production and how much we're going to get out of it. And we're only running this for 1 week. Essentially, it's like 40 hours. And so that'll, and it's a smaller unit. It's a smaller unit than what Fairfax brings in. So we'll run it a few days longer, but we're hoping that we'll get the same output, the same capacity.
Frank, do you know if it's a, is it a tub grinder or a hammer mill type?
No, it's a horizontal grinder.
Okay, so it's a hammer mill type?
Hammer mill, yeah.
Okay.
And how finely does it get it grind up? I mean, or
well, mess it up? Yeah, so we have, what we're doing at the composting is that we have a 2-inch minus feedstock for green waste. So it, there's a 2-inch screen in there.
Wow, that's small. That stuff's coming out fine, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a fairly decent mulch that we'll get.
Yeah. Your compost, your guy that's turning the windrow is going to love it.
And does it take cactus?
Well, we're not running any cactus through it. We're just using the clean green waste that we use in our composting. It could. We could do the material that we don't want in the composting if we just wanted to do mulch for the slopes, for example. And mm-hmm. some of that we've used cactus and we've used the palm fronds. But those tend to be very harsh on the grinders. So mm-hmm. is that something that we would like to get into? Or that if we eventually purchase one, it's not something that we want to expose our grinder to. Or very little, if anything.
Yeah. What do you do with the boxes of cactus that people put out?
That comes to the landfill?
Do you just landfill it?
Yeah, they just throw into the landfill.
Okay. Any other questions for Frank? You got more?
Well, I have more, sorry.
Oh, good. Okay.
I do want to announce that the Biofusion groundbreaking is going to be on the 15th of January. And it's going to be from 1:30 to 2:30. So we are planning to invite ESAC, of course. And so planning just started today. I just wanted to announce that.
January what?
January 15th. If the date changes, then we'll notify everyone. But it seems like the mayor, the city manager, are available on their dates on that day. Then another update, I just want to mention that you all know that glass goes out of here, right? It goes up to SMI.
Say that again. Enough.
The glass from recycling.
Yeah.
It comes out of the landfill because this is where it all ends up. And we are shipping it up to SMI. And so just for the year, we shipped off about 1,300 tons.
So that's all the glass that's in the whatever it is, purple containers?
The purple bins that are throughout the city come here to the landfill and then we ship it off site.
And so you dump it on the ground and then ship it, or it stays in the container or what?
No, it just gets dumped on the ground in piles, in a big pile. And as SMI, they send their trucks down here, we end up loading them. But when we have enough, stocked up. We get a hold of them, and then they start sending their trucks over and picking it up.
Because, I mean, so much of it's broken. What do you just use a skid or something to pick it up?
We use our loaders.
Okay.
Large loaders. We're using the 950. And eventually it might move to the 930, which is a smaller unit.
And so what kind of, do they have just a dump truck or what does the glass people have?
Oh, when they bring it, no, they're semi trucks. I think they're supers. They're just the larger.
So how do they get in?
How do they get in?
It's not open on the top.
No. Yes, they're open. They're open top, open top trucks. They're like trailers.
Okay.
So it's not a small dump truck. They're long semi truck that have, you know, what do you call them?
How do they unload? Do they unload with a walking floor or what?
Yes.
Okay. Sounds very strange.
Okay.
And then just finally on compost donations, for 24, we shipped off-site about 305 tons of compost. And those are mostly going to the community gardens. We did ship some out to U of A.
And the ward offices.
Ward offices are getting some too.
Yeah.
And then Lisa is scheduling some other sites, maybe some parks where then we will notify the public where they can go and pick some up. And just finally, which is some good news, is that we're actually starting a recruitment for equipment operations specialists, which are our operators here at the landfill. So we're hopeful that we are going to be able to finally get back up to our staff and that.
Okay.
So maybe next month I might update and see where we're at, who we're being hired, and then how many people actually make the list. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. I wasn't going to ask. Since I've been bugging you. So thank you. Anyhow, I think we can move on to future agendas. Anyone have something? Well, I do. So not just to pick on code enforcement, Martine. What we're seeing Midtown is that ADUs are being built without permits. Sometimes people who live in residential neighborhoods are able to notice this and file reports. But it takes so long for follow-ups that the ADUs have already been built. And that's something I sent in that email to you. Yes.
What's an ADU?
It's an accessory development unit, and the city is pushing this for affordable housing.
Dwelling, accessory and, dwelling unit.
Huh?
Dwelling unit.
Dwelling unit.
Oh, yeah, dwelling. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You said development.
Oh, sorry. Anyways, with Phoenix changing the rules, Tucson's going to have to accommodate Phoenix. You know, you can build it. You can build whatever. And So they're going to be allowing two ADUs per property, and it's going to be a problem for established neighborhoods for sure. So anyhow, that's a big issue, and I know staffing is a problem, but I know in the past with code enforcement, there used to be someone who would handle the permits, the permitting that had been on code enforcement long enough to where they knew all the ins and outs of it. And so I don't know if there's anybody that fulfills that.
As far as obtaining the permits, or what do you mean by permits? Because code enforcement doesn't do nothing with the permits.
Well, if they've been reported as violations, then
yeah, we can report the violations and request them to go to development services to obtain the permits.
No, that's not what's happening. They're being built without permits. Neighborhoods notice what's going on. They report it to code enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And there used to be someone on code enforcement that had a pretty good background in permits and checking out these places and seeing what they need to have done. And I don't know if that's happening, but these are violations that aren't being addressed. And the ADUs have already been built. So what is the city going to do with an ADU that's been built without permits? So that's the conundrum.
Yeah, I understand the frustration, but what we can do is also is when we get the complaint, a lot of times we don't have access to the actual property. They usually build them in the back, but we can also do the research. You're right. Our inspectors can do the research and see if there's a structure going up. We can do the research and make sure that there was some kind of permit and some kind of plans that were submitted to development services. And if for some reason they're not, we can do a stop work order to stop them continuing from building that structure. Right.
So they're going out and giving these people citations for violations, but there's no right. follow-up. And so these people just keep building and then it just goes away. So I sent you some examples. Maybe we can go over that in-house.
Okay. I did send you that email. I did recognize that email. I don't know if you got it when we were off here. You can look at those properties you send me.
Yeah. So yes. Those are ADUs without permits. So there were three examples. Also, we're having problems with doing the online code enforcement reports that you get when you go to the code enforcement site, and we end up reporting a violation, and these reports are not being entered into the system. So I called about some that I had sent in September that I hadn't showed up yet. And it's not me, there's other people that are reporting it. You know for a fact that after it gets put into the system, we can download that and we have record
correct
of that violation. So those are not happening. Those are going away somewhere. So we don't understand what's going on. So
that topic, I could talk to Lori and see what's going on with the CSRs, if there's an issue, and then we can go from there. In fact, maybe I'll include her on the next meeting for we can figure that out if there's an issue.
Okay. Yeah. And also writing up reports with transposing numbers and having a hard time finding property addresses and stuff. So okay. I'd like to see some CSR training going on. And also, they have to be a lot nicer on the phone. So there's been problems with that. Anyhow, anyone else?
Nope.
For agenda.
I guess I'm sorry. I was. I can you hear me or?
Yes.
I've got something we're going. I'm sorry that I was late. You have heard that I've had a perfectly horrible, terrible, awful day. And I was trying to unscramble some of it. So I missed the earlier recycling stuff. I was wondering how the plastics, was it reported on the plastics all going to Las Vegas and then coming back in chipped little pieces to manufacturing plants or?
Well, it is all going to the polymer facility. We do know that, yes.
And then whatever happens to it from there. So are things working out between the orange bags and the others? What is that? How is the tonnage doing on those?
The problem, and we're having a meeting about that tomorrow. The problem we're having right now is that people are still putting their stuff in things besides the orange hefty bags. They're putting them in white bags and black bags and loose. And so we still have not been able to get the material to hefty. So we're working on how we're going to sort that material and deal with it. Because we still have way too much of it that isn't going to be able to be used at all.
So maybe after this meeting tomorrow, you can give us an update?
Yeah. Yeah.
At our next meeting.
Yeah, we're just trying to figure it out because, there's just a lot of people who are not participating properly.
Okay. All right. So you'll give us an update. And then the other one was at some time in the past, you had talked about getting together with waste management and the other companies and looking at how to put together a consistent program for people across the whole of the metro area for recycling. Is anything happening with that?
No. And, you know, I think because, you know, primarily we're all on board with everything being the same except for the glass. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you know why we did away with the glass. It was the cost. So, you know, we're just not looking at that right now. And it's really interesting because we've been doing a lot of outreach about recycling lately, and what we're hearing is that people who have some of these other haulers say that they don't get any information from their haulers at all about what they should be putting in their bins.
Yeah, that from my class, that's certainly the word coming forward, and so that's why it would be nice if we could have a report at some time about, you know, what people are thinking about, what is there anything that we as a group, as ESAC, could begin to put pressure on the other companies or individually, or, you know, how could we enable this a more consistent message and get the other companies involved also in putting in some money towards it? I mean, City of Tucson shouldn't have to carry all the price because it's also, you know, within of Tucson for the apartments who get to choose what hauler they want. So,
well, most apartments don't offer recycling.
No, but some do. And probably more would like to if they, in other communities, it's required that the apartments have the recycling also. So,
well, in Tucson, that's, you know, it's probably not going to. We would love to see that be, you know, required.
So
because we get a lot of people who live in apartments asking us why they can't have recycling.
Right.
And it's a management decision. And most, just like businesses, most multifamily and businesses choose not to recycle because they don't want to pay for it.
Yeah. Okay. But if we're truly going towards zero waste, then that's going to have to be an issue that comes on the table at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, but that's got to be a mayor and council decision.
And everybody wants to be like Portland.
Not, you know, I mean.
And you got to look at what they charge.
our department can't make that decision, you know, yeah. Because it's a city policy that anything with four units or more is considered commercial.
Sure.
And
but I'm
commercial,
just...
a commercial gets to decide, you know, what services they want.
But my point is, if we as citizens advising the department and also therefore the mayor and council, that, you know, we could begin to discuss amongst ourselves what such a program would look like, how might it be approached, and begin to lobby the powers that be that some of these other things happen, that, you know, they've set a goal that's impossible if they don't bring in those other people.
No, I mean,
we're not to discuss it here. It's an agenda.
Yeah. Well, gotcha. Yeah, let's talk about it a little later.
Yeah, I'll tell you that Ward 4, you know, they're having a lot of issues with illegal dumping at their NRC, and they're very concerned because they see a lot of businesses that are doing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, it's a good topic. Discussion to figure out the nuances, to figure out where the impediments are, where the opportunities are, and sure. To see how we could begin to do something about it.
Yeah.
So Margo,
yeah,
I wanted to say something about JD, and I didn't at the beginning because I wanted to wait until you were here.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to tell the group that Margot lost her husband of 64 years.
Right.
October 14th. And when you look at his obituary, it's just, he just accomplished so much in his 88 years. I mean, I just knew him as a physics teacher at the U of A, and then with TRIG, Tucson Residents for Responsive Government. But the whole list of things that he accomplished is just pretty amazing. You guys met at UC Berkeley.
Yep.
He was an officer in the Air Force at Kirtland, a science-focused Air Force Base in Albuquerque. He got his doctorate at University of Wisconsin, a postdoc at University of Pittsburgh, and joined the Arizona Physics Facility in 1967 at the U of A. So
yep.
Lots of awards. 50
president
published
of the
papers.
Faculty for two terms. That was quite an amazing time.
Yeah.
Lots of interactions with the president in behalf of the faculty and the rights of women. He was a very, very much a feminist, though he would hate to hear me say that.
Right. And he won, and he did get recognition for his Hispanic background and all the things that he was passionate about with his teaching and helping the students out and understanding all their challenges from their backgrounds. So anyways, I just want to say how sorry I am for you and your children and grandchildren, and Definitely, he's someone that's going to be missed.
Thank you. Yeah, I miss him a lot. Yes.
Oh, I bet. So, anyways, just we're thinking.
Thank you very much.
And the holidays are hard, so.
You
take care. And I guess I think we don't have a call to the audience. And we'll just move to item 9 and adjourn the meeting at 4:31. So we're just 1 minute over. We did well. Covered a lot.
See you all next week.
Happy holidays.
See you next week.
Bye. Have a good one.
I guess we will see you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm jumping ahead. I just put up Christmas lights for my granddaughter. So.
Bye, everybody.
Okay. Good night. Bye.
Bye.